I'm now joined with Owen Duggan, Assistant Manager, Dublin Region of Threshold Ireland, to discuss how proposals to extend renter protections do not go far enough, and also how only a quarter of those renting in Ireland do so by choice. Good morning, Owen. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Johnny.
First of all, Owen, the Cabinet had agreed to extend rental protection for those financially impacted by the pandemic until 12th of January next year. Are these protections the same as before, or have they been strengthened in any shape or form?
Well, I suppose they have been, it's welcome that they've been extended. The protections for relevant persons have been extended until January of 2022. I suppose they're very specific in who they do protect. They are in relation to anybody who is in rent arrears and has been financially impacted by the pandemic since March of 2020. They don't go far enough, I suppose, or they're not broad enough in who they protect. There's many people who would be in rent arrears prior to the pandemic, which the problem for them has only been compounded by the fact that they may have been further financially impacted by the onslaught of the pandemic from last year. Really, some of these, it's a very narrow type of tenant who it does protect. It's not like, I mean, we still have the problems that we have pre-pandemic. They're just further, as I say, compounded by the impact of the pandemic. But there are certain measures which the Cabinet have brought in, which are very welcome. But as I say, they don't go far enough in a lot of areas. For instance, the extension of rent pressure zones, which had a sunset clause up until December of this year, has now been extended until December of 2024. So that's very welcome, as well as the fact that now the rent pressure zones and how the increases can be calculated, that's now has a new system which is going to be coming in next month by a rent pressure zone calculator, which will be administered by the RTB, the Residential Tenancies Board. And this will link rental increases to general inflation or the harmonised index of consumer prices. And, you know, this will go some way, I suppose, to moderating average rents. This is in the shadow of national average rents have increased by 26% up until the third quarter of 2020 since the fourth quarter of 2016, when rent pressure zones were first introduced. You know, the extension of the rent pressure zones is welcome. The calculation of how rents can be increased, that will moderate it somewhat. It'll be lower than 4%, or should be, as it'll be linked to general inflation or the harmonized index of consumer prices. But keep in mind that this is only for those who are in rent pressure zones. So those in the various areas of the country, such as Leitrim, Longford, Mayo, Donegal, Roscommon, Tipperary, Monaghan, these areas aren't going to have any protection at all, and rents can still be increased once every 24 months outside of rent pressure zones to what is market value, which is a little bit ambiguous as well. Market value of a rental property is decided by three comparative properties. Whenever the landlord issues a rent review outside of a rent pressure zone, he gives three comparable properties of what he thinks the market rent or she thinks the market rent should be. And that could be challenged by a tenant. They could provide their own comparable properties. But generally speaking, from the type of clients and type of rent increases that we see outside of rent pressure zones, the rents are still completely unaffordable compared to what tenants were paying previous to that. And to have such an ambiguous rent increase, you know, that really puts a lot of tenants in a very precarious situation and a very worrying, stressful situation.
Isn't there a loophole in the legislation whereby if a landlord doesn't increase the rent by 4% in 1 year, then he or she can apply 8% increase the following year? Will that continue?
That has not been addressed by the Cabinet. And that will continue, and it could go further actually, because it could go back as far as 3 years, and you could get a 12% increase. So in that instance, it's really been left wanting, you know. I'm not sure I would call it a loophole as such. It's always been there. I suppose it's just highlighted now because of the rent freeze from last year. And within rent pressure zones, the rent can be increased once every 12 months. But with the rent freeze last year, that was put on hold. But what a lot of tenants didn't realise was that when the moratorium on rent increases was lifted, the period for which it couldn't be increased can now be included in the calculation of that time frame for the increased rent. Unfortunately, a lot of tenants who were protected by a rent freeze last year, that's now being made up for, essentially, I suppose, because that time period can now be included in the calculation of the rent.
And I think you may have mentioned this earlier, hasn't it been strengthened in terms of what a deposit can be? What money has to be paid up front? It has to be the month's rent and the equivalent amount of a deposit and no more.
Yes, absolutely. That is an important protection which has been introduced. So essentially, a tenant doesn't have to give more than 1 month's rent deposit, okay? Or the equivalent of 2 months' rent payment. But effectively, it comes down to 1 month's rent because industry custom has it that you pay the rent up front and you pay a deposit up front. So it can't be more than two months' payment. So in effect, yes, that does limit it to 1 month's rent deposit. And that is a very welcome measure, especially in regards to student-specific accommodation.
Yes, I believe some of them, sorry to cut across you, I believe some of them were being charged the full year in advance.
Yeah, so a lot of students were paying that up front. They were borrowing it from credit unions. They were getting grants in some cases. They were borrowing from their parents. Perhaps they were getting indebted to pay pay the rents up front. And essentially, Johnny, they were left high and dry in the onslaught of the pandemic. You know, they couldn't attend on campus. There was no lectures. They had no purpose to be there. You know, they were living there specifically to attend college. And that was kind of, the rug was kind of taken out from under them a little bit there. They were certainly left, many students, unfortunately, were left high and dry, unfortunately, last year.
On what's your personal view of the average cost of rent in Dublin at this time?
Well, it's just, for many, it's just completely unaffordable. And it leaves tenants with very few options when searching for alternative accommodation. Essentially, it's take what you can get kind of a situation if you are out there in the rental market and searching for properties. There's very little choice, very few options. And, you know, tenants who are searching for alternative accommodation, they're starting to share rooms now. There can be three or four people in a room, many more in a property, you know, and that doesn't allow for any kind of quality of life. It creates a real sense of precarity. And then there's a total, because you're in that situation, there's a total power imbalance between the tenant and the landlord or the agent, you know, because essentially, although there are protections in the Residential Tenancies Act, not all people avail of those protections. Not all people feel empowered to avail of those protections. And so because of that power dynamic, you know, there's a real sense of despair among a lot of tenants, you know. They feel like that there is no other option. And that really has a huge impact on their quality of life.
Absolutely. And that leads into our slightly different topic, where only a quarter of those renting in Ireland do so by choice, according to a recent survey. Tell us more about the findings of this report.
Yes, so the report came out in the Family Finance Report. There was a Red Sea poll done on behalf of the Family Finance Report, which found that although 90% of respondents said that they would prefer to own their home, 40% of those respondents didn't believe that they would be able to do so before 2028. 25%, that's a huge cohort, that's a huge percentage, don't believe that they will ever be able to rent. And essentially, you know, categorizing, having themselves categorized as forever renters. The two main reasons that were found why they felt that they were in that situation, and they are in that situation, is that essentially they can't save a deposit because their income is going on the rents, or because of the spiralling house prices, they don't feel that they will ever be able to get a mortgage on a property because their income just wouldn't match the price of the properties in question. And so 25% of those feel that they'll never be able to own their own home.
Yes, absolutely. Just imagine somebody single over 50 in renting. They're totally insecure. They'll never get a mortgage at that age.
Probably not, Johnny. Yeah. Most certainly not. Not without a certain income and a very significant deposit. But you know, people in this situation, they're in a catch-22 because the rents are so high. They've so few options that all their income is, or a huge percentage of their income is going on the rents, which prevents them from being able to save for properties which, you know, they might not be able to afford anyway.
So finally, Owen, tell us about Threshold's recommendations to government to address the issues of our housing crisis and better security for those in private rental market.
I suppose, as I was saying before, the rollout of the rent pressure zones, the new amendments to linking rent pressure zones and how those rent increases are calculated, linking that to general inflation, that's going to assist a certain amount of tenants. But really, that has to be rolled out nationwide across the country. As I said before, there's tenants in counties such as Leitrim, Monaghan, Roscommon, Donegal. They just simply don't have these protections. And so once every 24 months, outside of a rent pressure zone, they're in a very precarious situation where the landlord has decided that they're going to increase the rents to market rent. So it's very difficult when rents are going so high at such a rate and house prices are going so high at such a rate, it's very difficult to plan ahead for you and your family, you know, because you don't know how can you budget for market rents, which you might have to pay next year or the year after. In addition to that, one of the most important proposals that Threshold has made is to linking the HAP limits to general inflation or to market rents also. So people are on housing assistance payment. Their rent caps don't come anywhere close to matching what market rent is. So what that means is that they have to make their own, in most cases, unaffordable top-ups to the landlord themselves, which is just putting them in a more precarious situation, further indebted, further stress. And yeah, it's a very difficult situation out there for many, many renters.
Right, so we'll leave it there for today, Owen. Unless, of course, anything else you'd like to mention.
Thank you very much, Johnny. Yeah, just like to add, if there's any renters who require any advice or feel they're in a precarious scenario, you're not alone. And please call Threshold at 1-800-454-454. We have advisors waiting to speak to you.
That's excellent. Thanks again, Owen, for joining us. All the very best. Do take care.
Thank you very much, Johnny.